Today on Real Radio.
We have more laws today than ever and more lawlessness. Laws do not make people righteous. A person deciding to follow God makes a person righteous by faith and a community safe to live in.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his topical series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that applies scriptural principles to our lives as disciples of Jesus. Scripture uses the terms dark and darkness numerous times, both literally and metaphorically. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses in this presentation called The Discipline of Darkness.
Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Wow. And then this verse, 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "The Lord will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts." God knows everything. And the difference between the two is monumental. And as Christians, we need to learn this. And I got to tell you right now, it's not going to be a popular thing to have yourself taught in the Bible these things. Because the moment you begin to live out a true faith that is alive means that you are going to stand up against the tide of somebody. Hear me out. Are you guys awake tonight? I need you to be awake tonight. If you take a stand, you are going to upset some people. The Christian does not take a stand to upset people. The Christian takes the stand, number one, based upon the Bible. Number two, it needs to be rooted in love. Because there are people who are going to fight against what you believe, and they're going to kick against what you believe. Just know this, if what you believe is biblical and you are conveying that in love, then eventually they will either say no for one last time, or they will say yes because they have found out that what you're saying is true. It's pretty powerful stuff. The light and the dark will always coexist. Understand this as well. You can't have darkness without the presence of light. You say, wait a minute, that's an oxymoron. If there's light, then there won't be any darkness. I understand what you're saying, but that's not the context in which I'm saying it. You cannot have light without the possibility of darkness existing in this realm, in this world. Now, we'll see by the time this message comes to an end that in eternity, there is a place where there's absolute darkness, and there's a place where there's absolute light. And I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of the dark. So I know where I'm going. Man, that's important. The disciplines of darkness, number two, is this. Recognize what's in the dark. What's in the dark? Now, the other night, our little dogs went off barking. They don't bark much unless somebody's around or something. So they started barking, and I have one of those real powerful light beam things that shine out in my backyard, a handheld thing, 1 million candle watt flood lamp. Turn that thing on. You don't dare touch the end, it's hot. And I'm looking in the yard. We have raccoons that come in our yard, and they can hurt little dogs and all that kind of, or me. And so I'm looking. Why? Because I want to know what is in the dark. I don't go looking for what's out there, but when something approaches me or something's making a ruckus, I need to know and recognize what's in the dark. According to the Bible, what are those things that live out in the dark? And I'm going to go through this quickly, though you, I'm sure, can fill in the gap. First of all, the Bible tells us that it's all manner of sin that lives in the dark and has a bead on us, as it were, that we are in its sights as Christians. Maybe you're a brand new Christian. You just came to the Lord this last Resurrection Sunday, and you're here tonight. And you said, Jack, you know, it's only been a few days, but I've seen this happen, and it's like what you said, that I would begin to have a mind change, I'd be thinking different, and I'm here tonight, and that's awesome. On the other hand, you recognize immediately also that there's now a battle with the things that you once did, and there's a part of you that still wants to do them, but now there's a war going on the inside. First of all, I want to welcome you to the family of God, because where there once was never a war inside, now there's a big war inside. Isn't that beautiful? Cheer up. You've been blessed by God. What you once never struggled about, when your friend said, hey, let's go do this, you went, all right, I'll drive. Now it's your friends are saying this week, hey, let's go do this. And you say, I don't think so. And you've even thought about making up some story to not go with them. Because there's a war inside. That war inside is that spirit warring against the flesh. That's a good thing. So that's, in a nutshell, things like pride or hatred, violence, immorality, lies, gossip, all the stuff that is native to the flesh. Now there's a war. We need to recognize what's of the dark. Christians, listen, I believe, not you per se, the church in America, by and large, cannot even recognize those dangerous, sinful, dark things that go bump in the night, because so many Christians this evening, around the world, wherever, are not rooted in the Bible. They can't even recognize any longer or discern what is right or wrong. And we see Christians in the name of Christianity endorsing things and embracing things that is clearly opposite to Christian doctrine. And yet they think they're doing the right thing. Be careful. Know your Bible. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, at least they should be, which are, here they go. Okay, let me pause right there. What I'm going to read to you right now is in the Bible. Tonight, will you trust God enough to say he's right, even though with what I read you might be involved in doing right now? Listen, this is the cool thing. For example, what I'm about to read, if you're involved in any one of those things, A, your thought will be, oh man, I can't believe that. You should stop thinking like that and realize, oh, God, what do I do? Help me. You say, what's the bit? Why? Because you will be choosing to follow the darkness or the light. Okay? So the works of the flesh are evident, which are these? Adultery. Now that means having sex with somebody else's husband or wife, and you also are married, or one of them, one of the mix is married. God says, this is the works of the flesh. This is what people who don't know God do. They commit adultery, fornication. Fornication is sex or a sexual immorality outside of marriage. Uncleanness, ungodly conduct, lewdness, dirty things. You could easily put pornography in lewdness. Idolatry, worshiping things. That word actually means finding your identity in things. Sorcery, which is an interesting word. Sorcery in the Greek, it's the old English put it as sorcery, and that's totally made sense if you lived in the 1700s. It makes perfect sense because incantations and all was used, I should say drugs was used with incantations by voodoo, witch doctor type weirdness, okay? But the word is very awesome, and you know it very well in Greek. The word appears actually in your Bible in Galatians 5:20, pharmakei. You recognize that? Pharmacy. Pharmaceutical or hallucinogenic drugs. God says that's what the world does. Very powerful thing, by the way, that unlocks a door into the spirit realm. Hatred. That's hatred to the point of I want to kill that person. And if you could kill him, you would if you wouldn't, if you weren't get caught. You know that feeling? Don't get, oh, you're so quiet now. This plagues the human heart. Contentions. Always got to fight about something. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. Do we not live in an outburst of wrath kind of age? Violence. Set up the YouTube. Set up the camera. I'm going to beat that guy up. Or like this poor girl that we saw on the news this week where she was put in a coma by someone kicking her with steel boots. Set up the camera. I'm going to perpetrate this crime. Unbelievable stuff. The Bible says the works of the flesh is selfish ambitions. That's climbing over people to get to the top for your self-gain. Dissensions, breaking relationships up or friends up or against the unity. Heresies, false doctrine. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. That's wild parties, the word revelries. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand. Just also I told you in time past that those who practice, there's that word. Those who do these things as a lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? How can the Bible say that? The Bible simply identifying the works of the flesh, which are these. Look at verse 22. But in contrast, now we shift from the darkness to the light, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. Meaning that you don't even have to have a law established or posted in front of such person, because in the internal processes of their heart and mind, God's in control. Church, did you hear that? God is controlling them. So you don't have to watch over them. Our founding fathers said if America ever gets away from a religious understanding, then we'll have to create more and more laws. We have more laws today. Are you listening? We have more laws today than ever and more lawlessness. Laws do not make people righteous. A person deciding to follow God makes a person righteous by faith and a community safe to live in. A county safe to live in. A nation safe to live in. Don't think for a moment, well, we need a new law. Well, no, we need to stop making laws. We need to enforce the laws we have. And you know what? If I was a dictator of the universe, I would have Bibles given to every prisoner, okay, that goes to jail. You got to have a Bible. And oh no, call the ACLU. But I would put the Ten Commandments back in class. That's what I would do. You can't do that. Our founding fathers thought it was just a fine thing to do. And since we took them out, crime's gone through the roof. Many of us are old enough to remember that one year we went to school, we stood, put our hands over our hearts, said the Pledge of Allegiance, had the Ten Commandments on the wall, and we had prayer in school. And I went to a secular school. I remember when the astronauts were in peril, and the President of the United States said, everybody gather together, school campuses gather together, auditoriums were packed. We went to the auditorium on the basketball court, and we were led by somebody on administration in a prayer for the astronauts who were in trouble out in space. Can you imagine that happening today? Hey, astronauts! Tough. Amazing. I say, Jack, how old are you? Very, very old. But the gospel attacks spiritual ignorance. Matthew chapter 4, verse 15 says that the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. Man, that's awesome. Every time somebody says, I want Jesus, they're coming from darkness into light. It's incredible. It's awesome. It's wonderful. Number three, the disciplines of darkness is this. Avoid those dark things. Avoid them. Okay, this is where it gets fun. Avoid them. According to the Bible, how do you and I avoid those dark things? The scripture is very clear. We need to be loading up our hearts and our minds with scripture over and over again. Truly, truly, I want to announce this. If anything ever needed a washing, all right, it is our minds. It's our minds. We hear so much stuff that if you're not careful, you'll hear it enough where it doesn't even bother you anymore. We'll think about things that are not right. The lyrics to a song may be incredibly offensive to God. And here's the fun part. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit, I may be a person who thinks that this rap song or whatever is, oh, that's a cool song. And you're listening, and you might even be mouthing the words, and you have no idea. And then all of a sudden, God gets a hold of your heart and says, do you hear what you're saying? Now, first of all, let me make the record clear. I don't listen to rap songs. You don't have to listen to rap songs to hear junky words. Just turn on any country western radio station. But, you know, I left my honey and, you know, met some girl and stole their shotgun and whatever. Do you remember when you were younger, before you were a Christian, you had all these songs, you'd sing these songs, and now that you're a Christian, it's like, I didn't know I was singing that song. Well, listen to this. Stuff gets in our head. And if it was ever true, it's true now, and that is we truly need a brainwashing. Oh, you Christians are brainwashed. I pray to God I am. Wash it some more, Lord. The Bible says that we need to have our minds renewed daily in the Word of God. Daily. Daily. That's why we encourage one another to read the Bible daily. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shameful thing to even speak of those things which have been done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Oh, some of you youngins need to hear this. But Jack, he's so cute. Get away from him. Trust God. Oh, but Jack, she's such a cutie. Get away from her. Pray. But I'm going to lead her to the Lord. And what if you don't? I'm telling you what. She's so cute and so sweet and so nice, she'll lead you into her world if you don't lead her into yours. Listen. See, what do you expect me to do? Be patient. Trust God and pray. If that's the one for you, listen. If that's the one for you, pray and ask God to make it happen. But don't you make it happen. Because if you make it happen, somebody else can make it unhappen. What do you expect me to do? Just grow up lonely? I would rather grow up patient, waiting on God, than marry and be miserable for the rest of your life. And then the world says, well, just divorce him if it doesn't work. Hello, you'll be doubly miserable for the rest of your life. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, please take that from my heart. I'm not being paid extra to tell you that. Spare yourself some grief. Trust in God. Let the Lord bring to you that one. Don't be unequally yoked. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? See the difference? Avoid the things of the dark. When somebody calls you up and says this or that, or when you see this, if you're driving down the freeway and there's a billboard, look the other way! Or whatever it might be. You have to fight that. This is a great example. I've used it often. It's so excellent, especially the young people that are here tonight. But check this out. Genesis 39, just write it down. It's not going to be on the screen. Genesis 39 starts at verse 9. You know the story. It's Joseph. He's in Egypt. And man, I don't know how to tell you except just straight up. The Bible says that Joseph was extremely exotic in the Egyptian culture. He was a Hebrew. And if you've ever been to Israel, Hebrew men and women, they're usually olive-complected, lightly olive-complected skin, and they could have anywhere from black hair to a reddish hair to a blonde hair, whatever, usually wavy. And here's the weird thing. Light blue or light green eyes. It's very interesting looking. Joseph was extremely out of his culture in his looks. The Bible says he was handsome and smart. And the Bible says he was a well-built man. He's a slave to Potiphar. And his wife, Potiphar's wife, that is, keeps flirting with him. Hey, sweetie. She was, and look, you know how Satan works. She must have been a real cutie pie. So she's winking at him. The Bible says she cast longing eyes at him. I guess women know what that means. She keeps hounding him. Lie with me, lie with me. Verse 9 says, no one is greater in this house than I am. My master, which is her husband, has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing, notice this, and sin against God? He was practicing the presence of God, which steers you out of darkness and into the light. Constantly. Didn't Job say, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon, right? Okay, a young woman. So check this out. And though she spoke to him, to Joseph, day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his robe and said, come to bed with me. But he left his robe in her hand and ran out of the house. What do you think of that? A person who walks in the light says, God, give me that strength. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Joseph rocks. A person in the darkness says, what a dope. Well, man, boy, that guy blew it. Darkness and light. How you respond determines if you are on an avoidance course or not. Will you avoid or will you hit? Number four, the disciplines of darkness means this. Know the dangers of the night. Know them. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to experience them to know them. Parents, listen. Well, we believe in raising our kids up and letting them find their own way. Do you know that is disaster? I understand that. If you grew up without any spiritual upbringing whatsoever, but just basic morality. You don't leave your children to themselves. Well, we don't turn or point our children in any religious persuasion whatsoever. Listen, I'm warning you, you're making a big mistake. There's a reason why the Bible says, teach the Word of God to your little kiddos. There's a reason.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Darkness. A look at what Scripture says about the darkness and forces of darkness we face as true followers of Jesus. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we just heard is available online at realradioactive.org. You can hear today's broadcast once again or purchase the message in its entirety. Just visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and right under Pastor Jack's photo, click the tab that says Today's Broadcast, and then the word Purchase if you'd like to hear the presentation in its entirety. Again, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.